You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 115 of Well Met. We are a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is July 10th, 2017. From Studio 5 in Denver, Colorado, I'm John Horstman. With me, of course, is the crew. First, let's head on over to beautiful Kansas City, Kansas. It's J.R. Cook. Hey, J.R.
Hey, John. How's it going?
Going all right.
I'm so excited for the show right now. Like, new expansion we get to talk about, new cards, all the new hype. It's going to be a good one. I love shows like this. I love them.
Yes, it feels like it's been a long time since our last one. And it hasn't, but it's just, maybe it's just been the meta. So I'm really excited to discuss all the new things we've got going on for the show this week. Before we jump over to that, let's go to our resident wild expert in Danny Donuts. Hey, Danny.
Hey, how's it going, John?
Going all right, man. How are you?
Dude, I'm so excited for this show. These shows, when we review cards and talk the talk, were my favorite for all the podcasts before I joined as a co-host. I love to listen to Kevin's analysis and yours as well.
Good save. Dang it. Yeah, we know. So it's going to be an awesome time. Glad to have you be a part of your first ever card review, and we'll see if you can live up to the hype. You will notice Ray's not with us this week. He's a little under the weather, so he won't be with us this week. But he really wanted to be here to the point where we basically had to yell at him in Discord to stay home, relax, and, you know, do what he needs to do to get better. So thoughts with him. Let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the show before we jump right in. First, a little housekeeping. Number one, join us in our Discord, discord.me/wellmetpodcast. We're having awesome conversations all throughout the week about the new expansion that just came out, hint, hint, other decks, getting people to play with, and complete quests, all of that stuff. So head on over to discord.me/wellmetpodcast and hang out. Danny, we also have a guest lined up for next show, don't we?
Oh, yeah. We have the Wild streamer Control the Board scheduled to come on in. He placed second in the Wild Opens, and he's a really hard, dedicated streamer, puts a lot of effort into it, and really puts out some pretty good content. So I'm really excited to have him on.
Yeah, I'm really excited, too. And you came to me in Discord and be like, hey, do you want to bring Control on? And I was like, yes, yes, 100%. Yes, let's do it. So it's going to be an awesome time. Make sure to tune in next week. We'll do a little Wild special for you before we get bombarded with cards over the next few weeks after. So we've got that going on. JR, what about you, man? What's up with you?
Just a lot of work in playing some Hearthstone. Some laddering in before the new expansion hits. I'm not going to be a tryhard this month. Probably grind out to rank 5 and call it good. But THL also just finished up. Our team made the playoffs, but we didn't advance past the first round. It was really close. I had the worst pirate opening hand that I've ever seen in my life. I mulliganed away a Leroy Jenkins and 2 Arcanite Reapers. And I got a Mortal Strike, an Arcanite Reaper, and I don't remember what the third one was off the top of my head now, but then I drew Patches. And Patches was the only pirate I had for the first 6 turns of the game.
Yipes.
Does it matter, though? Aren't you just supposed to go face? Isn't that all that deck is?
With what? With what?
Patches?
I didn't play anything for three Next. Turns.
Patches?
I mean, that's what I did, and then he died, and then I did nothing. It was awful.
Did you throw out patches turn one and go, greetings?
Oh, no, I had upgrade. That was the other card that I had, and I played upgrade first. That's what I played. Oh,
got it. Well, no. Ripping patches. JR, too bad. Well, hey, at least you guys made it to the playoffs this time. I know we didn't make it to the playoffs last time.
And so. We weren't even, like, this was a brand new team. We weren't even expected. Like, we were, like, out of 20 teams, they had us ranked at, like, 17th at the beginning of the season. So,
rip.
Worked out.
Well, hey, congrats, dude. Well, let's just go ahead and jump into the news. Well, actually, we didn't really talk about, been doing anything fun in Hearthstone, Danny? Playing some?
Not in particular. I got up to rank 5. I haven't really been playing as much as I normally do, but I got to rank 5, and over this week, I'm going to push to Legend with some fun decks. I'm going to be playing some, I'll play some Dragon Control Warrior and pull that back from that Blackrock era. So we should have a lot of fun.
Nice. Awesome, dude. As for me, I've been streaming a lot, but not Hearthstone. Hearthstone's been my unwind game. I've been streaming a lot, and I got like the most massive host this past week. So Tim the Tapman, if you watch any Hearthstone streamers Overwatch streamers, you'll know whenever he's online, he's the first or second big stream. And just randomly out of nowhere, he hosted my channel. So I had like 5,000 plus viewers for a few hours, and it was insane and nuts and such a good time. It really motivated me to keep streaming and keep kind of going at it. So that was a lot of fun. I've been playing, I've got an alt account for Overwatch, and I've started like a free-to-play account on that one in Hearthstone, and I'm just kind of dinking around, seeing what I can make happen for free-to-play. So I'll keep you posted on that. I'm up at like rank 11, I think, right now, which is not bad for a free-to-play account, I don't think. There's some really great basic druid decks out there that can do pretty well. So been having a lot of fun there. Let's go into the news.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
Before we do get started, we do want to thank our well-met legends, the real Ben and Carell. Thank you so much for your support of the show. If you like Well-Met, want to see it continue, and want to help it grow, head on over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. Find out how you can get involved. So first up, and actually the only thing we're really going to touch in the news besides the expansion, is that patch 8.4 went live today. Danny, what's new in patch 8.4?
Oh, there's a bunch of things, but most importantly, the Rogue quest has finally been nerfed. The headline Yay! Of the patch.
You, I was just trying to... Way too long. Way too long.
Now that one deserves it. That deserves it.
So cool. Awesome. So we've got the caverns below nerf. Well, anything else, or is anything else that matters?
I mean, there's a lot of arena. There's a lot of arena stuff that arena players would find very interesting. More percentages than what we're used to seeing in these patch notes. Like, you know, something is showing up 150% more than something else, and maybe showing up less cards that you're not going to see in arena. I'm not going to go over everything because it was actually a very detailed thing about what's happening in arena to try to help class balancing in arena. I don't think it's going to be super successful, but I think it's going to push arena in the right direction, at least.
Interesting.
Also, pre-purchasing for the new expansion that we haven't talked about yet.
Woo!
Cool. You can do that.
Nice. So the big highlight then is just the cavern stuff and some stuff for arena. Got it. Interesting. Yep. All right.
There's some other stuff as well. The game now closes when you close the game.
Oh, that is another part of the patch. I'm just kidding. We're not going through the whole thing again. But honestly, that's almost as big of an exploit.
I'm excited about that one.
It's almost, almost deserving of as big of an applause, if not larger.
Oh, and the new cards that we have as elementals, Jade Spirit, for example, is now an elemental. There's a handful of other cards as well that I don't remember off the top of my head, and I don't have the notes in front of me to see.
Mm. There you go. Fixing stuff, getting things ready, getting things ready for what we're about to talk about next, which is Hearthstone's next expansion, Knights of the Frozen Throne. So this was revealed on Friday during the reveal stream. Pretty interesting overall, I think. Pretty funny stuff. There's a long 10-minute video with Ben Brode and the one guy who's
Jason Chase,
who is, you know, he's, yeah. We'd have been really good friends, but I wouldn't have him be my wingman, if that makes sense. That's how I feel about Jason Chase. He's your friend that you don't let play wingman for you. But it was kind of a funny, they always do those funny little skits. But here's what we know. Number one, we're at a bit of a standstill until July 24th. So not this week, but next week we'll start getting cards. And
yeah, that seems super weird to me. Like, this is a long first. Wait. This is the first time I think they've done that, where you know, they're not revealing more cards, or at least day by day, for, you know, a couple weeks until they do the big reveal later. And I'm kind of curious on the reasons why they decided to do that this time. And I wonder if a lot of it is just some content creators overstepping each other and things like that in the past with these things.
Didn't they do this with Un'Goro? I mean, I don't think Un'Goro was as long of a wait, but there was definitely at least a week between the initial announcement and all the rest of the announcements for Un'Goro.
Yeah, but there's still,
I feel
like
it was just a slow trickle. Like, as soon as you got the announcement, at least it always felt like that week we were still getting drip fed cards almost right away. I don't remember just be like, all right, now 2 weeks until you hear the next, you know, we get any card reveals.
But I think the big thing for me is the fact that it feels like super late for them to do that. Like to get more cards, we're going to probably be a week and a half away from release, maybe two at the most.
Yeah, I mean,
because it's going to be early August when this releases.
Yeah,
it makes me think they're going to unload the cards really fast. That's something that I'm not really sure about.
Do we know that it's early August?
Yeah, they did say early August.
Oh, I only see.
They initially said
the official blog post just says this August.
I could have swore that in the video Ben Brode said early August, but I'd have to double check that.
About it. Well, anyways, we'll have to see if it is early August. Maybe at the same time, maybe they're trying to do it faster so that you don't have, you know, people making so many videos and the community is so sick of seeing certain cards that they already kind of have in their head what's good or not. Like, the nice thing about, like, imagine if we just got 135 cards that we didn't see before. Obviously, there's a lot of bad sides to that because, you know, you don't really know what it is. So you have to reveal those cards. But imagine if you saw them at such a quick pace, you didn't let all the Kibblers and the Firebats already kind of socially engineer the decks and what they think is best and worst and kind of form those community opinions. And instead, you know, when the expansion launches, it feels a little bit more fresh, I guess, and wild.
They did that during League of Explorers. They released it, what was it, a week and a half after announcing it?
Yeah, because I was at BlizzCon, and they released it, like, that following week.
Yeah, but that was only about 30 cards.
Definitely a large step up. But, I mean, maybe they thought that strategy was the best. And it'll be an interesting experience.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
I can't wait to be overloaded with cards.
Yeah, we'll have to see. There is going to be, so here's what we know. There's going to be 135 new cards. They will be accompanied by missions, which are free for everybody, and will reward you with 3 card packs and a random Death Knight hero card at the end of the prologue. So lots of like, what is that? We'll get to it in a second. And also, of course, the pre-order is live. Pre-order, get 50 packs for $50 and the Frostmourne card back. So let's talk a little bit about Death Knight hero cards. Danny, can you kind of explain what Death Knight hero cards are and what the premise for this is?
Sure. So every hero, or every basic hero at least, is going to have a hero card. And it's different than any other card we've had. It's not like a minion or a spell or a weapon card. But they're all going to have like special powers. And in theory, they're going to change your hero power and do something on the board, possibly.
Cool. What do you guys, what do you guys think about this? I know, JR, you and I think, have a little bit more pessimistic view on what heroes cards are, but give me your take on these.
So first of all, I want to know, and I don't think they've come out and said this yet, if you're going to get a class legendary, like, that's not a hero card, and then also a hero card legendary in this set. I don't think that's been answered yet, but it feels like they would go that route. And to me, I don't like it because, once again, that feels like what they kind of did with quests, where you're going to have these cards that people are going to want to build their decks around, and they're going to be probably very difficult to get, even though it looks like Blizzard's doing some things to kind of help you get those this time around that they didn't do with the quest system. So I'm not like terribly excited about that we're getting new legendaries again that are going to be nine different ones that are gonna, that you'll want to play around with and see how the decks are. So I'm not happy about that, to be honest. We kind of went with that with quests, and I don't really feel like going through that again. On the flip side of that, I do like the idea of getting a new hero with a new hero power and building a deck around that without getting, we know that we will probably never get a new hero or a new class in the game. But this kind of allows you to be able to do that. And I think, to me, that's very exciting that they have found a way to kind of add a class to the game without really adding a class to the game by having these new cards that just take over your hero.
Is that adding another class to the game, or is that, at the end of the day, it's Shadow Form, isn't it?
I think it's a different little bit skin. More than that.
Obviously, steroids, but yeah, and it's legendary.
I think
legendary,
it would be
more
like everybody got Jiraxxus without the downfalls that Jiraxxus can have. Whereas Jiraxxus is a minion that changes your hero power. This is just a straight up hero card. It's not a spell. It's not a minion. It's a different type. So you're not going to place it down and get it mirror entityed. You're not going to play it and get it counterspelled or
dirty
things like
red.
That. Right.
Yeah. So
in that regard, I think it's exciting. I want to see what the other eight are before I really say, yeah, this is good or not. Right now, I feel very meh about it just because I'm still kind of feeling that quest angst.
Well, if you go based on quests, how many have to be like good and viable for the whole concept to be viable then? What do you think? Do you think that like quests, there's probably two or three that are in the like competitive meta. How many do you think would have to be competitive for it to be like a success? Is that what you're trying to judge it off of, or?
No, I'm not even thinking about competitive wise on this. Like, I would imagine there's probably going to be two or three heroes or hero cards that will end up being competitive, much like quests. I think what's upsetting about it would be the fact that starting out of the gate, you want to explore all of the different options, and you have nine legendaries to try to collect out of the gate to try to play, Just from a casual perspective, I'm not talking about this from a competitive perspective at all. From a casual perspective, I want to play these 9 classes right out of the gate, and it's going to be very difficult to do unless you put down a lot of money.
Yeah, oh, that's definitely fair. And with them all being, all being the legendary ranking, you have to, they are pretty expensive.
Right.
They are expensive. Here's the only thing. Honestly, I'm like, cool, that's fine. There are a few things. Like, this is kind of like quests in the sense that you can't make them too powerful. Otherwise, they define the decks, or they have the potential to. Now, the one thing that we saw with quests is quests had very obvious intentions from a deck perspective on what you needed to make that happen. So like warrior, you needed some sort of taunt warrior, right? Priest, you need some sort of death rattle deck. With quest rogue, you need to have cards that are cheap and can make it back into your hand. Like those kind of feed to you a little bit. Now, we're going to talk about the new Deathstalker Rexxar in a little bit. But the point I want to make about it is that its hero power isn't necessarily synergistic with just a certain type of hunter deck or heart or archetype, if that makes sense. I literally just activated Siri with my toe. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Anyways, like it just can't win. And so it's kind of interesting to me in that sense is will these class, these Death Knight heroes have archetype defining things or they be like Ragnaros. Imagine a class Ragnaros that in the end, if you have a mana curve that goes up that high, you use that card every time. And which one of those is actually better designed? And that's, I think that's a really interesting question. Is it a success if this is just a awesome, you know, card that is included in every class, like a Ragnaros would be or whatever? Or should it be more like quests where in the end we see 2, 3, 4 actually being used? I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's going to be refreshing to not have it start in your opening hand, because a lot of games were defined by the quest because the card started in your hand. And like you said, they were very linear goals. So with this, having a lot to work with is definitely going to put some deck building behind it. Whereas it's not going to be add one specific card here, one there. You'll actually have to think creatively about it. And I love the creative deck building, the things that you wouldn't normally think about.
JR?
Yeah, no, for me, I think it has something more to do with just they're going to have powerful abilities to begin with, and there's not going to be a lot of downside to using them. I think where it's going to come down to is, one, what the battle cry is going to be, and if that's going to help what you're trying to do with that deck, and two, what the hero power is, and if that hero power is going to be better than the hero power you already have. And we know that there's some strong hero powers in the game already. Warlock is one. I actually think Hunter is one, especially if you're playing like a, just trying to get him down. Hunter is good for just doing that 2 additional damage. But whereas like Shamans isn't that powerful.
Unless he gets spell power totem.
Yeah. Or Warrior isn't that powerful or exciting. You might want to run those cards in your deck because you might get a better hero power out of it as well. Not only that, but you get all of them are getting 5 armor off the top. Your life is staying the same, and you're going to get the 5 armor for the mana cost that you're casting it for. And we haven't seen the mana cost of the other hero powers as well.
Do we know for sure that you get 5 armor? I thought in the video they just said you get some armor.
Dave Kozak had an interview with Eloise, and he said that all of them get 5 armor.
Got it. Perfect. This is why you're the man. They're genuine questions for me. So
yeah, no, like, that's
missed another one.
That's where I heard it from. So unless Dave Kozak misspoke,
lied.
That's where I got it.
#DaveKozak lied. Fake news. Yeah. So, okay. So I get what you guys are saying here. So let's talk a little bit about what's new in Knights of the Frozen Throne. Obviously, we talked about the big one. Death Knights is the marquee feature. And something I was going to say before is, as far as marquee features go, this is kind of the least exciting that I can really remember since like Goblins versus Gnomes, where we didn't really get anything, you know, we didn't really get anything new in Nax or GBG as far as I can remember. So we'll just go with that. That sounds good. We'll go with that. And this is kind of the same thing where we aren't really getting anything new here except for these hero cards, which are really cool, but feel a little bit like a rehash, quote unquote rehash of quests in the same way. In that too. But in the same way that like you could say that oh my God, what's the name of it now? You could say, oh, this is hurting my brain. but from Discover, after Discover, we went to Tri-Class cards. And it was kind of just like we had some of those like Discover cards from one of these three classes thing where that was like kind of a rehash. And it feels a lot closer to that than it does with, you know, introducing Reno stuff and stuff like that. Well, I mean, we've already had Lifesteal in the game.
Yeah, that's why I thought you were getting at was we're getting
existed. So we're getting this mechanic that already existed, and the marquee feature of it is kind of a combination of a few things that we've seen in the past. Still doesn't mean that this won't be the most healthy and fun expansion we've ever seen, but from a speculation standpoint on like new things, you know, it's really down to what ends up getting printed on the cards, and that's kind of boring to me. But here's what we've got. So Death Knight heroes, we already talked about. Now, JR, these are hero cards. So they're not minions or spells, correct?
Yep. So you've got different types. You've got minions, spells, and weapons. And those are the three types of cards. And now you've got hero cards added to that. So anything that says counterspell, anything that does anything to minions, is not going to affect this. You would have to have a very specific card that says, you know, targets a hero card to do anything against these, which right. we don't have revealed yet and don't know if there even would be.
Right. And these are discoverable though, is what we're thinking now.
If it's discovered by a class and it just says like discover a card, then it would be. If it's something like discover a spell or discover a minion, then it would not.
Right. But if it's it said, you know, discover, you know, a card from your opponent's class.
Right.
You could pull out your opponent's class card.
Yep.
Cool.
And that has been confirmed by Blizzard that it would work that way.
So we've got that. So let's talk about Lifesteal for a second, because Lifesteal is something that we just talked about. And then we just it's already in the game and it kind of is. So Lifesteal is a new keyword, but it's like poisonous in the sense that it's just a redefinition of card text that we have in the past. So this mechanic keyword currently exists on Wicker Flame, Burn Bristle, and Mistress of Pain. And the card text is going to be updated. I think it got updated today as part of the patch to reflect this. So,
oh, is it?
I think so. I thought I read that.
I'll have to check that out.
But either way, Lifesteal is going to come, and it's going to basically mean the same thing as deal damage, heal your hero for that amount of damage you dealt. Right? Is that?
That's correct.
A good way to word that. Okay. And so they also, what were the changes that they made with Akanai's Soul Priest?
Yeah. Lifesteal? So now that's not going to kill you now. The effect only happens once. So if you get damaged by, if you attack, well, you have Akanai's Soul Priest in the past, it used to be, if you attacked with like Wilfred Burnbristle Wicker Flame Bird Bristle.
Wilfred.
Did you attack with that? Yeah, Wilfred Bird Bristle.
Oh, show title. Wilfred Burn Bristle. Go ahead, keep talking.
Yeah, so if you attacked, you would get into an infinite loop of damaging yourself and then healing yourself, which actually damages you again. And now it's changed so you only get damaged once.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense. Okay, cool. So that's clarified. Awesome. Can we just do some card reviews? Is there one more thing? Okay.
One more important thing that I think we missed. It's the missions.
Oh yeah, we should talk about missions more. We said there's missions,
right?
And they're free. But tell us about what's going on with the missions, JR.
Yeah, no, I think they're really cool because one of the things that, you know, they took away was the adventure modes that we are no longer going to get because they're going with three full expansions every year. But part of that deal was from starting now with this expansion and then all future expansions, we'll start seeing these missions. And this will be the first expansion where we're getting that. And it's going to be very much that solo adventure mode feel that you get. There's going to be a prologue wing and I think three total wings, if I read that correctly, with the different boss battles. And then the last one is against the Lich King. And each one, finishing each a wing, is going to award you a free card pack. Finishing the first prologue wing will get you a free hero card. So you'll get one of those hero cards right off the bat for playing that.
Random.
And
keyword.
But it still goes under the duplicate rules of the card packs. So if you've opened up all your card packs before, and let's say you got four or five hero cards, the random one that you're going to get will not be a duplicate.
Right.
Which is super cool because a lot of people were wondering about that, if I should open up my packs first or not. And Blizzard did clarify that anytime you get a legendary card, it's going to go under those new no duplicate rules that packs have. And then also, if you beat the Lich King with all nine hero classes, there will be a special reward. And they have not said what that special reward is. It hasn't been data mined yet or anything like that.
You got to think it's going to be pretty good if they're giving out a legendary already.
Right. I don't think it's going to be a card. I think it's going to be something cosmetic.
I think it has to be.
Or a bunch of free packs.
I don't know why they wouldn't just say you're going to get a bunch of free packs if they didn't already know that. But if they wanted to hype it up and be like, you're going to get the Lich King get Arthas, which he was a paladin, right? Before he was corrupted. Yeah. So, you know, you're going to get Arthas paladin or something like that as a, you know, as a winner or, you know, something like that, which would make sense for them not to say up front. But I feel like if it's, you know, it's kind of like, I did this with all nine classes and all I got was this stupid t-shirt. If you get like one of those types of rewards, I'm like, pass. But if it's something cool like that, I'll end up doing even a card back. I would absolutely do it for as well. I love
that. That's what I fully expected it to be, was a card back, but I would love to see a new hero or something to that effect.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool if it was just a brand new legendary that they don't tell anyone about? So you get through to the end, and then all of a sudden there's a new legendary. The shock that would go through the community would be fantastic.
It would be awesome until the first person does it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then everybody knows. But it's kind of like, you know, the Hearthstone team has gotten away with what they did with Murlocs, because it used to be, you know, with Murlocs, after you collected all the Murlocs, there was this, you know, hidden quest to get old Murkai. And it would be really cool to kind of bring those things back again too, I think. So I like that.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't see them doing it. I like the idea, but I don't see them doing that for sure. But I'm super, like, of all the things that actually got announced, this is actually the one that I am most excited about, because I actually really loved adventure modes and going through them and going through the heroics and making videos to show the different decks that you can do and putting them up on YouTube. And it's one of my favorite parts of the game. And I was really going to miss it with adventure modes being taken out. But I'm glad to see them bringing it back this way and as free content.
Yeah, for sure.
I really like the wacky ones where you would have like the chess one, or the one where Rafam steals your deck. The ones where it's not like you're playing a just straight up game. It's where the rules get flipped on its head.
Right. Yeah. And I think this should, in my opinion, this should set the precedent then that in the future, single player story content to accompany expansions is free content. Would you guys agree?
Yeah, I think we're going to see it every expansion here on out.
Which I think is great news for free to play players, where now you don't, it not only do you not get the cards if you don't buy the expansion, you also don't get to experience the content. And that's true for new players and free to play players and budget players. And so I think that's a really great move too. So yeah, awesome. All right, card review time. It's time finally. Let's talk about these cards. And naturally, we need to talk about Deathstalker Rexxar first. So Deathstalker Rexxar is a 6-mana hero card that reads, Battlecry, deal 2 damage to all enemy minions. He also has 5 armor that he gives your hero, which is then him. His hero power is then replaced to create a custom Zombeast. So, JR, how does creating a custom Zombeast work?
Yeah, so basically, you have a discover mechanic of all of the beasts currently in the game that are 5 mana or less. And you get to choose one of those 3. And then you get it again, and the 2 that you pick in that sequence stitch together, their mana is joined, their attacks are both joined, their healths are both joined, and they get all of the text that's on the card together. So you can get, for example, one of the most popular ones that people bring up was you can get Vicious Fledgling, which is a 3-mana druid beast. That's a 3/3 that adapts whenever it hits your opponent's face, mm-hmm. with Flabby something bird. Like Stone Tusk Boar, which is a 1/1 charge for 1 mana. So it would become a 4-mana beast with charge, adapt whenever it hits your opponent's face, and it would have 4 attack and 4 health, which is crazy.
So
that's insane.
Let's talk about this for a second then. So that's really freaking cool. Now to clarify, this goes into your hand. It doesn't get played, so you still have to play it. But
another thing to note is that the beasts are going to be under 5 cost.
Yep.
You won't be able to discover a beast that's over 5.
Right. Right. So, Danny, what do you think about Deathstalker Rexxar?
Oh man, I'm so excited for this card. When I give these my reviews, I'm obviously going to put a wild spin on them. So in wilds, my favorite meme deck to go to is Reno Hunter. I love the deck. And I feel that this...
We're accepting applications for new... I'm just kidding.
But I think that this card will definitely fit well into a control style hunter. And then at least for standard, I'm assuming Blizzard might print out some other control style hunter cards. So they might try to push. They've been trying to push hunter in a little bit away from aggro recently. So I think that this card might just be a really good mid to late game card, because it clears your opponent's board if they're playing like a token style deck, which is really nice. That's something that Hunter is lacking.
Cool. JR, what do you think?
I think, so this, one of the cool things about this card, in my opinion, is its battle cry, because you're basically getting a Primordial Drake effect that's only hitting your enemy minions. And we have seen in this latest expansion that that's a very powerful card. Yeah, you get a 4/8 taunt with it that helps against that. But 2 damage to all minions, especially against a lot of the token decks that we're seeing, is very good. So it would depend on if the meta continues down that token path. This could be a very good card to have. And then the hero power, I'm really lackluster about the hero power. It's cool. You can get some really insane stuff with it. But like you said, it goes into your hand and then you would have to play it. So it would be kind of like, you know, picking that first one, you're like, okay, I really want this one. And then you see your next three and you're, you know, you might walk away very disappointed because, you know, you're not getting the beast that you might want, or, you know, you're looking for something cheap and your next three cards are all 5 mana beasts or something like that. So it has potential to be really cool. But I feel like I need to see more of the set to really judge this card more than just the face value that it is right now. But looking at it now, like, my favorite thing about this card is definitely the battle cry.
One of the things that mid-range and control hunter lack is card draw too. So I think that this could be a good supplement for card draw. If you're late in the game and you're getting top deck, top after top deck, you're going to end up essentially getting maybe an extra card draw. Consider it an extra card that you can just randomly spawn. So I think that's pretty cool. And you can stay at least mana efficient during that period. So it might push this archetype a little bit.
I'm on team. That's exactly what I was going to say, Danny, is there's a few things that I think make this card really good. First of all, what else does Hunter typically lack outside of explosive trap? AoE. And it's, you know, a decent AoE. It is legendary, which means that you're only going to have one in it, but you've got AoE. You've got some catch up time to do. I personally, when I look through, and I think it's Tempo Storm, right? That is it Tempo Storm or Hearthbone that has the simulator?
They have, I think it's Hearthbone.
Hearthbone?
That's Hearthbone.
Yeah, so they've got a simulator there, and I was playing around with it and watching other people playing around with it, and it looked pretty consistent. As far as looking for a way to put an efficient minion on the board in mid-range style, looks really great. Looking for a taunt minion or, you know, a taunt beast or something like that, not so consistent. But as far as just ensuring that you have something to play that's going to be difficult to remove, it felt and looked really consistent. And so I'm going to say that if Hunter makes it into the meta coming up and there's no big surprise cards from Hunter that, you know, would make the archetypes kind of go away from these hybrid mid-range style Hunter decks, I'm going to say that this is going to be a good card that you're going to see in there. So I'm a fan. I am a fan. So that's Deathstalker Rexxar. Any other thoughts? Because this is kind of the marquee card this week. And so, you have any other thoughts on these, on this card? No.
I just want to see what the other 8 are now, because this like seeing this seems kind of crazy. Like, I can't even imagine what the other 8 classes are going to look like, and it makes me excited for that.
Yeah, totally. Well, let's talk about this next card then. Next up, we have Shallow Gravedigger. It's a 3-mana, 3/1. Neutral rare minion that reads death rattle, add a random death rattle minion to your hand. Danny, what do you think about this guy here? It on the face of it, it definitely doesn't pass any vanilla tests. That's for sure.
No. And dying to a ping isn't particularly good either. But from my perspective, at least in wild, death rattle cards are typically a little bit better than in standard because you have the Naxxramas set, you have the GVG set, and they had some really powerful death rattles. So I think that actually in Wild, this card might be a little bit better than in Standard, because you're going to have a little bit of a better random pool to get from. But I don't particularly see this specifically jumping into any immediate meta deck at the moment. But you could definitely build some decks around it, and like you can have some like Death Rattle Priest. Like this could be a buff to the quest. This could go and improve the priest quest a little bit, because you get immediate refill on that.
Sure. JR?
I feel like this card, like right now, if I were to play this card right now with the cards that we have in Standard, I don't feel like it would be that great. But I feel like this has potential to be a really good card in Standard, depending on what Death Rattle cards we're going to get down the road with this set. Because they did say that this set's going to have more Death Rattle to it, because that's kind of the theme of the expansion. You're not going to see as much as what we saw with Naxxramas, but you're going to see a good amount of Death Rattle. And this could be one of those sleeper cards that right now doesn't look like it's going to be that great. But I think down the, like, once we get all the cards revealed, like, this could be one of those sleeper cards that, you know, if you're looking for a three drop and you're playing something Death Rattle related, or really needing just something to plop down and get something in return, I think this has potential to be really good.
You hit on a point that I was about to make, and that's, this is Stonehill Defender for Priest, in my opinion. You know, it'll get run. It could get run in the exact same way. You don't play Stonehill Defender for the stats. Now, it is nice because you can, you know, you buy yourself an extra turn a lot of times with just putting a taunt out there. I get that.
Babbling Book?
I don't know about that. For me personally, I don't. But like, I think about it, and if you're playing, you know, let's say you're playing Quest Priest, right? Are you really worried about putting these really efficient minions out and, you know, controlling the board right away? Maybe to a point, but you're more concerned about getting the quest completed, right? And so, in that sense, I could see how some people might want to play this. Like, I think it gets tried almost right away in Quest Priest. I just don't know if it stays. Just like Stonehill Defender kind of wavered a little bit, you know, and came back in and then left and then came back in. I feel like this could be very much the same.
The only reason I brought up Babbling Book is the fact that it's more of a, you get a random effect rather than the discoverability. But at the same time, Babbling Book is still a very limited pool, whereas this will be as well, because there won't be a lot of Death Rattle in Standard.
Yeah. So, any other thoughts on this one? This one's kind of lackluster to me in this from a card review perspective.
I think if we look back at this card right before the expansion comes out, we might have a little bit of a better grasp, because like JR had already said, this is themed around Death Rattle. So maybe it might be incredibly broken, because there's going to be a bunch of new awesome Death Rattles coming in.
Right. And that's the thing, is you're not discovering here. So you got to have a lot of death.
That's fair.
At the same time, there's a lot less negative Death Rattles, it feels like, than like poorly statted taunts too. You know, when you think about it, like there's just a lot of...
You could get like Bomb Lobber, but that's pretty much the only bad one. The only like really bad one.
Right. I mean, like Explosive Cheap, where it's like sometimes it's really good, sometimes it's awful. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It definitely needs some engineering on how good it is. But a lot of people have immediately written this off as unplayable just because of the stats. And the first response I have is, look at Stonehill Defender. It's not always just about the stats. It's about completing your goal for your deck. I mean,
Egg Napper has been fairly decent in some decks. It kind of fell away, but it was a 3-1 with Death Rattle that gave you 2-1-1s.
And if you're trying to cycle Death Rattles too, you can just automatically assume that this card's going to die. So
yeah,
if you're trying to get the priest quest done quickly, you can just jam that in.
Right. Okay, well, let's go on to the next one then. Next one we have is Chill Blade Champion. This is a 4-mana 3/2 common paladin minion that reads charge and lifesteal. So just a quick recap. Lifesteal means whenever you deal damage, you restore that amount of damage in health to your hero. So, JR, let's let you take the first crack on this one. How do you feel about a nice little life-stealing?
So the first thing this kind of reminded me of is Argent Horse Rider, with the 3-mana 2/1 charge that has Divine Shield. It kind of feels like in that category, except in this case, you're probably not going to be hitting a minion with it unless, you know, you're at a three health minion that you really need to kill and you really want to gain 3 life. You're probably going to be hitting face with it, depending on the board, and getting that 3 health back and then potentially getting 3 more depending on how they deal with it. So you can get, you know, potentially 6 health in that regard. I could also see it paired up with things that Paladin likes to do and buffing up their minions. And
Come on. +5/+5, baby.
Yeah, totally. Maybe Don Honcho becomes a meta somehow. But
you cringed so hard, like your body was not able to form those words.
I had to remember what Don Honcho was. I mean, come on. But no, I could see it being used like on turn 8. If you don't, for some reason, all of my opponents on turn 8 will have a Tyrion Fordring, but I never will. So I might just have this guy in a Blessing of Kings and turn him into a Ragnaros of the Light Lord.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting, right? So you compared it to Argent Horse Rider. For me, I almost think about this like a True Silver Champion a little bit. You get a little bit more life back. You do a little less damage. Same mana cost, but kind of the same idea is the health that you gain back sometimes is just as important as, you know, the Corcoran Elite that you just cleared. So,
right.
Like, I think that this is cool on its own. I think it's just a little bit too risky and too defensive to run, but with other hand buffs and stuff like that, with all the other different Grimy Goons cards, if Grimy Goons becomes a thing, this card becomes a part of that, I think.
Yeah, and I don't see this getting played in like the current mid-range or aggro Murloc Paladins that we see.
Right.
It's really funny that you guys both saw it as two different cards. I saw it as a third card completely. I saw it as a similar to Hammer of Wrath. So the spell that what deals 3 that? Damage.
Just kidding.
And then, so it's a 4-mana spell, right, that deals 3 damage and then it draws a card. But instead of drawing a card, you're having life instead. So I would, because I think that most of the time, you're probably going to be trying to kill something off with this. I mean, it always has the benefit of being able to go face, but I can see it just being as a Hammer of Wrath that in a more control styling deck.
I like it. So I thought a little bit about a Hammer of Wrath and I was like, because immediately it is this a throwaway? Is this, you know, any 3-mana deal damage spell? But I'm also like, you know, imagine even if your opponent does have minions, you're essentially forcing him to clear it with a spell or to give, basically trade 6 damage somewhere, where in the sense he loses 3 damage to your face or to something else and also loses 3 damage to your face because you just healed up for 3. And so like, I think I honestly could see this getting played smashing face and just say, you deal with it. And if you're not running Smite, young priest, you're in trouble kind of thing, you know? So it might be interesting. Not that interesting, I guess. Okay. Noted. Fair enough.
It's interesting to see Blizzard printing a charge card too. We haven't seen many charge cards recently. And they're a little cautious about printing it. So maybe they're pretty excited about printing this.
Yeah, that's a great point. And there's some scary synergies that Paladin might have. I mean, you already have a, you know, JR talked about it. You have a 7-point finisher or an 8-mana, 7-damage finisher kind of thing, plus a big, big minion on the board. Like there's a lot of scary things that could potentially happen. So I guess we'll have to stay tuned. Give that guy Divine Shield. What is it? Argent Protector?
Argent Protector.
Yeah.
Put an Argent Protector on that thing. Like, come on, let's do it. All right, next card. Next card. Card reviews go so long. Spirit Lash is a 2-mana priest card. Says lifesteal, deal 1 damage to all minions. So 2-mana priest spell, lifesteal, deal 1 damage to all minions. Danny, what do you think?
I am super excited for this card. Okay, this card is what priest needs. When Shaman got Maelstrom Portal, Shaman's a class that doesn't have a normal ping, and being able to go and ping other classes' tokens off the board is really powerful. And so I feel that in like a control style priest, you can use this as a really early keep the board under control card, but you can also use this in some combo style decks. If you were watching the Wild Open Championship, there is a priest combo deck that essentially it's the Inner Fire Divine Spirit with Deathlord. Mm-hmm. But so you run a Wild Pyro in that deck, and you could use the Spirit Lash in combination with that to make some better combos. So I'm really excited to see this on both the combo side and then additionally on the anti-aggro side.
That's cool. I never thought about that. What do you think, JR?
This feels like it's really good in the fact that it's similar to Maelstrom Portal, costs the same amount as Maelstrom Portal. Instead of getting a minion and getting that little extra tempo, you might just be able to, you know, clear the board early. But what's the 5-mana spell that they always use? It does it too. Is Holy Nova? Is that the one?
Two damage to others.
This kind of feels like that too, like a cheaper version of that. Yeah, you're not healing your minions, but you are able to heal your face. You're damaging your own minions in this case, but combo it with Northshire Cleric or the 0-mana that heals all the dudes and draw some more cards that way. That could be fun. I think the biggest thing for me is just giving it spell power and just doing more damage that way and getting healed even more. Like it's a really good early game card, and I feel like it's a really good late game card too, as Danny said, to combo it with something.
Right. I think you play it early to stave off aggression. You play it late to heal. Right. I think early, you know, exactly. Healing doesn't really matter. Typically, unless you're playing against Face Hunter. I get it right there. I'm going to make a sweeping declaration right now. This is my overreaching guess on the priest hero class card. I'm going to say it's going to have something to do with spell power. That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say the priest hero card is going to have something to do with spell power. So
then this card could be like Halazeel and what's the Elemental Destruction. They wipe the board, heal yourself all the way up. Control Shaman is a lot of fun. It'd be interesting to see that in priest.
Yeah, cool.
Imagine if that was the case with the priest. And you also played the quest. And so you could potentially get the quest reward for that style of priest. That would be kind of gross.
Wow. Look at us. Look at us right here. A bunch of theory crafters just making it happen. Making Spirit Lash work. Let's go to this last one here. And this one's the second most exciting one, kind of. So we've got Prince Keliseth. He's a 2-mana 2/2 neutral legendary minion. Reads Battle Cry. If your deck has no 2-cost cards, give all minions in your deck +1/+1. Mistcaller 2.0, basically.
I think better.
I do too.
I think this one will see play.
I like the conditional part. That definitely makes it a little bit more interesting to build around. It's like a lesser extreme version of Arena, where you don't have to have all singletons in your deck, but you're directing your deck building in a specific way to optimize the benefit from it.
Do you think...
Yeah, and
I was just going to ask, do you guys think that this is going to cause some pretty awful win rates for Priest Without Coin? Do you think that you might see a big disparity between Priest with Coin and Priest without because of your ability to skip essentially turn two?
I guess I don't understand what you're trying to get at, to be honest.
So if you can't run any 2-cost cards except for that one in there, it means that if you don't have the coin, your turn two is hero power blank always except for 1 in 30 chance, right? But if you have...
sometimes you want to save that for a third turn.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest, if they put in a tutor card, if they put in a draw a 2-mana card, like more expensive card, so you can get this more consistently off in the early game. I wouldn't be surprised if there's like a 3 or 4 drop that tutors for a 2-mana card.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just thinking like, do you, as a general rule, if you don't have anything to play on turn two, having the coin is drastically in your favor. And so this almost guarantees that you don't have something on turn two. And based on what we see now, we don't really have a way to get that to change. I wonder if you don't draw that guy on turn two. I want to see the hearth stats on if there's a pretty big win-loss disparity between having it and not having it.
And I think it's going to go in a very specific deck. Like before the show, I was asking you guys, what are the two mana cards that Paladin uses, for example? And the only ones we could come up with was Hydrologist and Equality.
The hand buff guy.
Right. So if you're running like just some kind of paladin that is very aggressive but doesn't have anything that is, you know, well, I guess if you're running Murloc Paladin, you're going to be running the Bluegill Warrior as well. But if you're running like any kind of like kind of aggressive paladin deck that's more mid range, like adding this in there as your only 2-drop might be okay, because on turn two, you're just, you know, instead you'll just make a dude and, you know, still have maybe board presence that way. But in this case, the Chillblade Champion that we looked at earlier, that's the 3/2 lifesteal. You know, if you pop this card off turn two, later on you're going to get a 4/3 with lifesteal in charge, which is pretty good. Plus, you know, a bigger Tyrion Ford ring or something like that. So I think it's going to be very specific decks that this one would go in, and very specific classes that are already kind of weaker in the 2-drop. Like, you're not going to see this in Mage, because Mage has too many like 2-mana cost spells and minions that it uses. You're not going to see it in Warrior because of War Axe. And there's going to be, you know, examples of that you're not going to see this played in. But I think there are classes that could very well use that 2-mana card that you're not going to see normally in those decks.
Danny, what do you think?
Well, when I first saw this card, I thought of the new Hemet, actually. The way that you have to build a deck around having it be more of like a little bit of win condition. It's on a lesser scale than that. But I really like the way that JR has been thinking about it. That's definitely pushing me in a different direction about the card. I really think that's a pretty good, insightful way to look at it.
Cool. Well, what do you guys think? We're one week through the kind of first batch, the drip feed. This is what they've decided to show us. Do you think, what do you think of the expansion so far?
I think they did a good job of showing us cards that are interesting, giving us the one hero card to kind of get an idea of what those are going to be like and what they're going to do. And then showing us, you know, a death rattle, showing us a card with charge, showing us this kind of cool legendary, and also this kind of cool pre-spell. I don't know if these are going to be, you know, the most powerful cards that we're going to see. I think a lot of times the early cards that they show end up not being the most powerful cards in the set. They're just the first ones we see. So we're like, oh, cool. How would this work now? And then we end up with the rest of the set.
They're more flavor defining than they are.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
If you look at Un'Goro, you had like Volcano and Pyros, and you got an example of the Adapt minions. So I think this is pretty representative of that as well. You got some cool thematic styling cards.
Yeah, and it just gives you that feeling of I want to see more now, and I want to see how this plays out. And I think these cards did a very good job of that. How they're going to play out in the meta, we're definitely not going to know until they probably get like 30 or 40 more of these cards announced, so right. We can see the set better.
Right. Cool. Well, I'm optimistic. I think, you know, I feel like the less flashy some of these things are, the more likely we are to see a healthier meta. And not that the meta is unhealthy right now, outside of, you know, the Quest Rogue thing and some of that stuff. You know, this expansion will likely go back go down in history as one of the most balanced expansions that Hearthstone has ever seen, at least from a standard perspective. I don't know if it's the same for Wild, but in standard, at least, you know, it's you've got 7 out of the 9 classes represented fairly well. You've got pretty diverse tournament stuff going on. You're seeing a lot of different variations of different decks, I guess is what I would say, in the tournament scene. And so from that perspective, I think Un'Goro was a widget, was a huge success. And I think now it just comes to how can we do what we did with Un'Goro, but maybe make it a little less stale. Right. I guess that's what I really felt with Un'Goro is not, this isn't balanced. It was like, this just wasn't that fun this time around.
I felt like, I have kind of the opposite thing with Un'Goro, where I think it was really fun. But like every single expansion in existence, once you get to about to that final month and a half, where the meta has been, you know, basically figured out and you're just rehashing the same decks over and over, then it gets kind of boring. And that's that. I feel like that's the state we're in right now. But the first month and a half of Un'Goro was some of the most fun I've ever had in Hearthstone. So I really enjoyed it.
Okay. Fine. Have your own opinion. See if I care.
I will. And you will accept it that I have an opinion.
Fair enough. Well, we don't have time for meta or anything else today. We've got to get out of here. But the big thing I do want to stress is a huge, huge, huge congratulation to Hoy for winning the HCT Spring Championships. Played amazing. Congratulations.
I want to give a shout out to Ant.
Yeah,
he's getting
the
there, dude.
Dude, I wanted to like go, yeah, Ant, because Ant is now my favorite player. After seeing that video of him,
just
and,
a likable, you know, guy.
Just, you know, just his story and everything. I'm just like, dude, this guy is everything I want. I ever wanted in a Hearthstone esport guy to follow. I was like, I'm all in. I'm all in on the Ant train.
I was a big fan. So let me give you the top four here really quick, and then we'll talk about Ant for a second because he's definitely the crowd favorite. So Hoy, Kalento in second, and then Nyria and Ant in third, fourth. So Ant, though, is the big one takeaway. I actually know Ant, kind of, in the sense that when my first two or three coaching sessions with Freshka back in the day, where it was in a Google Hangout, and Ant was there. Freshka and Ant were on GG together, GGLA. And that was like their roster, and they were really close, still are, I believe. And so I've always like if you've gotten to know Freshka, like Ant is very the same kind of bubbly, happy, just kind of want to hang out. They're always really nice people things. And Ant played amazingly. I loved his tweet, his victory tweet, where all he said is, "You like that?" You know, and it's just like that was all that he said. And that was so perfect. So huge congratulations to everyone. I thought the Hearthstone was phenomenally played this weekend. And
if you want to see a really good matchup, go back and watch the VOD between RDU and Kalento. Because I feel like that was probably the best match that I have seen in Hearthstone since Amnesiac and who's the guy Tice? That beat him?
Is that freeze?
It was Pavel. It was Pavel, wasn't it? Amnesiac and Pavel.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah. Cool. That's cool. I'm glad you thought that way. I chose RDU. He was my champion. And I followed RDU for a long time. You guys know I've been a big G2 fan back when, you know, G2 is a really big thing with Life Coach, Tice, and RDU kind of being the dynamic trio of Hearthstone at the time. And for me, I was heartbroken that series because RDU went up 2-0. And man, did he just get the shaft on some things. Just saying.
Yeah.
Like if you like watching kind of insane draws, then yes, watch it. Not my favorite series to watch though, because I felt so bad for RDU and wanted him to win. But he handled it like a champ. He really did. He
it was the most exciting match in the
It was exciting for sure. It was absolutely exciting. When he drew the shadow step, when Kalento drew the shadow step to activate his quest, dang, it was good Hearthstone. Good Hearthstones all around. Let's get out of here, shall we? Thank you guys so much for joining us for episode 115 of Well Met. We hope you enjoyed it. I do want to say something. I believe it was Maximal Ideal left us a 5-star review and left some awesome feedback. He left some awesome feedback for us. He said, "More meta, please. It's coming." It's been really hard to discuss a stagnant meta, and we've been looking at and talking about more ways to make the meta a regular part of Well Met without it being "nothing changed this week," or instead of second, Crystal Rogue is now fourth. What do you think about that? Like, it's just, it got really dry. We want to have it more fun, more engaging conversations about the Hearthstone meta. We're working pretty hard on it. I've got some pretty cool ideas, but I think to flesh them out, they'll probably start hitting right around when Knights of the Frozen Throne launches. But thank you for that feedback because it was awesome. And thanks for leaving your feedback in the form of a 5-star review and not like a 4 or 3 or 2 or 1. Really appreciate it. A pluses. And that's why you get an extended shout out this week. Send us emails, wellmet@blizzpro.com, with comments, questions, ideas for the show, anything. We love to hear from you. Don't forget to join that Discord, wellmet@blizzpro.com. We don't have any new Patreon or any new patrons this week. But if you like the show, want to support, head over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. Find out how you can get involved. We do want to thank our Well Met legends, the real Ben and Carell. Thank you so much for your support of the show. And yeah, that's it. iTunes reviews, what we got going on here, JR.
Yeah, iTunes reviews this week, we had three nice five-star reviews. Although I think one of them we talked about last week, but I'm going to give him a shout-out again anyway, because John has them written down. But Maximal Ideal, who we just talked about, thank you so much. Kundra Sears, I think, was the one I mispronounced last week. And I think, because I got a tweet from him, he was laughing at me for mispronouncing his name.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was because I checked iTunes that day. Because he did it on the Monday, and I get the email on a Sunday. Sorry. You get a double shout out.
So thank you again. Yeah, he gets another shout out, which is awesome. And then Jopey One, which I'm not sure if that's the way you pronounce it, but close enough, I think. Thank you so much for that five-star review. If you'd like to give us a five-star review, just head over to iTunes, do a little search for podcasts. You can type in Hearthstone and find Walmart right there. Leave a little nice five-star review, and I'll try not to mispronounce your name, but I can't make no guarantee.
Cool. All right. Well, let's do shout outs for the week. Danny, shout outs, and where can people find you?
You can find me at Twitter at DannyDonuts_HS. And I want to give a shout out to you guys today. I had a blast being on my first card review.
You nailed it.
And it was a lot of fun.
You nailed it, kid. Nice work. You can stay. Just kidding. And you're going to be streaming afterward, right? After the show.
Yeah, I'm going to hop on my... you can check me out on my Twitch, actually, at DannyDonuts45 on Twitch. I'm going to be playing some Wild Control Warrior, the Dragon variant specifically.
Awesome.
What does the 45 stand for?
Just a random number.
Cool. Random number. What about you, JR? Shoutouts for the week, and where can people find you?
People can find me over at Twitter at Eldorian. I would love to do some streaming more on my Nintendo Switch, actually. I got one of those capture cards now. So I might do that over at Eldorian BP. I want to do some charity streaming again. That's the biggest thing for me. Also, I want to give a shout out to Ant, of course, for making it to BlizzCon and becoming my new favorite Hearthstone esports player. But I definitely want to give a shout out to Ray. To get to feeling better.
Yeah, for sure. Feel better, Ray. Ray and I also talked. We're looking at having Ant on the show sometime this next month or so. So he's at TitanR and then DreamHack. And so we're looking at maybe afterward getting him on the show. So that should be fun and exciting. So we'll keep you posted there. Shout outs and where people can find me. Find me everywhere at Kick Tripod. Shout out to everyone who came out to the stream. Since being affiliated, all the people who have supported with their Twitch Prime subs and other subs and just hanging out and viewing has been amazing. Means a lot to me. Thank you for doing that. But yeah, that is going to do it for us this week. Thanks for hanging out with us this week. We hope you enjoyed episode 115. See you next week. Same time, same place.